Hello, and welcome into the light. I'm Catherine Michelle. This will be a concerto program. We'll hear two piano concertos, one from a Russian composer and one from an Australian, and in between an American violin concerto. We begin with Zara Levina, who was born in Simferopol in the Crimea in 1906. She died in 1976. As a child, she could easily pick up music at the piano by the age of four. At age 11, she was admitted to the Odessa Conservatory to study the piano and graduated with honors at 17. In 1925, she entered the Moscow Conservatory, where she studied composition with Glier and mastered her pianistic skills with Felix Blumenfeld, who was also teaching Vladimir Horowitz at the time. I wonder what having piano class with Horowitz was like. These sessions could hardly be called lessons, Levina recalls. Rather, those were endless hours of revealing the profound essence of the great art of music, its mission, its necessity. Soon, Levina began to study composition with Nikolai Myaskovsky. Upon graduating from the Moscow Conservatory in 1931, she entirely dedicated herself to composing music. She worked in symphonic, chamber, instrumental, and vocal genres. She wrote a great deal of music for children, plays, and radio productions. In the 1930s, Levina wrote heroic and passionate monologues with a spirit of patriotism. Then, with Dmitry Kabalevsky, she organized the Children's Music Committee of the Composers' Union of the USSR and was its chairwoman from 1943 to 1947. In the late 1940s, she wrote some light music. During the 1960s, she wrote severe and mournful romances on African poetry. We're going to hear the Concerto for Piano and Orchestra No. 2, written in 1943 to 1945. I'll read you the program notes. This piece is the composer's response to the events of the war years. As early as at the beginning, the whirling theme of the introduction is heard in the unaccompanied piano and is associated with the storms of war and its sudden attack on Russia. The main theme, given in the development, changes its character gradually. Alarming at the beginning, it grows to become ever more grim and severe, revealing the inner tension and courage of Russia's defenders. The second theme of the first movement evokes different associations. Lyrical, presented by the soft sounds of the cello, it breathes with spring and love of people and nature, emotions still alive in the days of hardship. In the recapitulation, the general coloring of the music brightens with the lyrical theme acquiring a heroic and hymnic shade and closes the movement. The slow second movement, dedicated to the memory of the soldiers who fell for their country, takes up the mournful mood of an episode from the first movement and develops this idea broadly. As a counterweight, the middle section presents an episode based on the melody of a Kazakh folk song, reminiscent of a reed tune played by shepherds. Against the mournful background of the music, the appeased character of the tune becomes especially prominent, as if symbolizing the eternity and beauty of life. Both themes of the third movement are based on the transformed melodies of Levina's native land, the songs of Crimean Tatars. Their vivacious, somewhat humorous character and agility were conceived to make the general optimistic mood of the work more evident. Life goes on, even despite all hostile forces. Such is the essence of the concerto. Well, let's hear it now. Think about the other Russian composers you know as you listen. I think you'll hear some influences were in the air. Prokofiev, Shostakovich, Kabalevsky, and Kachaturian were all writing at the same time. In this recording, Boris Petrushchonsky is the pianist with the Moscow Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Veronika Dudarova.